ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we're continuing a reading from the sixth chapter of the seventh canto, which is entitled Prahlad Instructs His Demoniac Schoolmate. It's three verses, 11 through 13, but I think only the first one is on the board, right? Katam priyaya anakampitaya sangam rahasyam ruchirang cha mantran suritsu tatsneha sitaha shishunam kalaksharanam anurakta chittaha katang priyaya anakampitaya sangam rahasyam ruchirangsha mantran suritsu tatsneha sitak shishunam kalaksharana manurakshatitta katang priyaya anakampitaya sangang rahasyam ruchirang shamantran suritsu tatsneha sitakshishunam kalaksharana manurakta chitta katang priyaya nakampitaya sangam rahasyam ruchirang shamantran suritsu tatsneha sitakshishunam kalaksharana manurakcha chittaha. Please chant. Katang priyaya anakampitaya sangam rahasyam ruchirangsya mantra suritsu tatsneha sitakshishunam kalaksharana manurakta chittaha katang priyaya anakampitaya sangam rahasyam ruchirangsya mantran suritsu tatsneha sitakshishunam kalaksharana manurakshya chittaha katam priyaya anakampitaya sangam rahasyam ruchirangsya mantran suritsu tatsneha sitakshishunam kalaksharana manurakta chittaha. Vaishnavis. Katang priyaya anakampitaya sangam rahasyam ruchirangsya mantra suritsu tatsneha sitakshishunam kalaksharana manurakta chittaha katam priyaya anakampitaya sangam rahasyam ruchirangsya mantran suritsu tatsneha sitakshishunam kamalaksharana manurakcha chittaha. So there are two other verses. I'll read those, and then we'll do the translation. Putran smarangstad hur tuhitri hridaya bratrin svasriva pitaro chadino grihan mano noru paritsadangsa vritishchakulyak pashubhritya bargan tyajita koshas kridive hamana karmani lobhad avitripta kama O pashtya jayvang bahumanyamana katang virajeta duranta moha. So it's a very long list of synonyms. We'll just do the translation, Srila Prabhupada's translation for these verses. How can a person who is affectionate... How can a person who is most affectionate to his family, the core of his heart being always filled with their pictures, give up their association? Specifically, a wife is always very kind and sympathetic and always pleases her husband in a solitary place. Who could give up the association of such a dear and affectionate wife? Small children talk in broken language, very pleasing to hear, and their affectionate father always thinks of their sweet words. How could he give up their association? One's elderly parents and one's sons and daughters are also very dear. A daughter is especially dear to her father, and while living at her husband's house, she's always in his mind. Who could give up that association? Aside from this, in household affairs, there are many decorated items of household furniture, and there are also animals and servants. Who could give up such comforts? The attached householder is like a silkworm, which weaves a cocoon in which it becomes imprisoned, unable to get out. Simply for the satisfaction of two important senses, the genitals and the tongue, one is bound by material conditions. How can one escape? So keep in mind, this is a 5-year-old boy talking about wife pleasing the husband in a solitary place, and he's talking to other 5-year-olds, and they understood. So, just shows if we can't understand this, they're not even as advanced as 5-year-olds from a previous age. So, it's long translation, but I think it's worth repeating because we need to stick these points in our minds. So please repeat. How can a person who's most affectionate to his family, the core of his heart, being always filled with their pictures, give up their association? Specifically, a wife is always very kind and sympathetic and always pleases her husband in a solitary place. Who could give up the association of such a dear and affectionate wife? Small children talk in broken language, very pleasing to hear. And their affectionate father always thinks of their sweet words. How could he give up their association? One's elderly parents and one's sons and daughters are also very dear. A daughter is especially dear to her father. And while living at her husband's house, she's always in his mind. Who could give up that association? Aside from this, in household affairs, there are many decorated items of household furniture. And there are also animals and servants. Who could give up such comforts? The attached householder is like a silkworm, which weaves a cocoon in which it becomes imprisoned, unable to get out. Simply for the satisfaction of two important senses, the genitals and the tongue, one is bound by material conditions. How can one escape? Srila Prabhupada's purport. In household affairs, the first attraction is a beautiful and pleasing wife who increases household attraction more and more. One enjoys his wife with two prominent sense organs, namely the tongue and the genitals. The wife speaks very sweetly. This is certainly an attraction. Then she prepares very palatable foods to satisfy the tongue. And when the tongue is satisfied, one gains strength in the other sense organs, especially the genitals. Thus, the wife gives pleasure in sexual intercourse. Household life means sex life. This is encouraged by the tongue. Then there are children. A baby gives pleasure by speaking sweet words in broken language. And when the sons and daughters are grown up, one becomes involved in their education and marriage. Then there are one's own father and mother to be taken care of. And one also becomes concerned with the social atmosphere and with pleasing his brothers and sisters. A man becomes increasingly entangled in household affairs, so much so that leaving them becomes almost impossible. Thus the household becomes Griham Andakupam, a dark well into which a man has fallen. For such a man to get out is extremely difficult unless he is helped by a strong person, the spiritual master, who helps the fallen person with the strong rope of spiritual instructions. A fallen person should take advantage of this rope, and then the spiritual master or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, will take him out of the dark well. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nama om Vishnu padaya Krishna prashtaya bhutale. Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Paschatadeshtarane Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyanandana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtang Shtapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Padakamalam Shri Guru and Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagardatam Haganah Raghunatham Tam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purjana Sayitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitangsha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namoste Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kopaturubhya Shankripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So with Thanksgiving in the rearview mirror, the countdown to Christmas begins. So the typical five-year-old will be salivating already at this point, dreaming about the toys that he or she wants. The list is there. Been mailed to Santa Claus, and every day they're wondering, is Santa going to give me everything that I asked for? Or at least the top two, you know, that lightsaber and that bicycle, at least those two better be there. Mommy, do you think Santa Claus is going to give me? And nowadays, mommy would probably reply in my days, if they say, of course, don't worry about it. You're going to get everything you want. You deserve it after all. You're such a nice boy. But nowadays, mommy would probably say, you know, well, son, there's been so many disasters in the world, and Santa Claus is going to have to give people a lot of necessities, things that they really need, so he may not have that much time and money left over for toys, so don't be surprised if you don't get everything, but be satisfied with whatever you get, okay? And the poor kid is already starting to feel disappointed. Oh, no. But these five-year-olds sitting around in the schoolyard during the tiffin hour, as Prabhupada said earlier, they're not discussing toys. Prahlad Maharaj is lecturing just like any sannyasi would. You'd expect to hear these words from a 67-year-old sannyasi, not from a 5-year-old boy, about the situation of household life and how the wife pleases the husband and how the children are dear and how it's difficult to get out of this situation. Most 5-year-olds are not at all clued into these kind of information. So how is it that Prahlad has this information? Where did he get it from? As we know, it's coming down in authority. He didn't dream it up. He didn't say, in my opinion, or, you know, I figured this out. No. He's repeating exactly what he heard from his spiritual master, Narad Muni, who had a long time to lecture to him because his mom prayed for the benediction that he would not be born until she went back home. She had been captured by the demigods who initially planned to wait for the birth of the child and kill him because they thought, Hiranyakashipu's son is going to be another huge demon. Let's kill him. But no, Narad Muni arrived and said, no, it's a great soul. Don't even think it. So he took her to his ashram. But again, she prayed for this benediction that the child would not be born until she went back home, because she didn't trust the demigods. You know, they may go back on their word if he was born before she went back home. So, and she didn't go back home for quite some time. So, you know, Narad Muni had a chance to preach to this kid while he was in the womb. And he was born perfectly realized. In other words, one can become realized just by hearing transcendental knowledge. One does not have to go through all kinds of tapasya, austerities, penances. It's not necessary. Just simply by hearing transcendental knowledge, one can become completely self-realized. So Prahlad is the manifestation, personification of this phenomenon. He heard, and he was born realized, didn't get entangled in anything. And he was able to preach. Not only, it's not like this is the first time, he came out preaching to his father. Gave him so many wonderful instructions. But the father was not inclined to hear. So Prahlad told him, Matirna Krishna Parataksatova, Mitop Bipadyeta Grihavartanam. He said, you've taken a vow to enjoy in this way. That's being described in today's verse. You've taken a vow to enjoy through the wife and the servants and everything like that, thinking it's all yours and you're going to enjoy forever. And therefore, don't worry. You won't become Krishna conscious, not by your own effort, not by going to any amount of meetings or hanging out with other people. It's just not going to happen because you've taken this vow. Nowadays, people don't even get to this stage, really. Kali Yuga is such a degraded age. People don't even get to the stage, generally, of being really attached to the wife and the children and the home. No. They're into sense gratification, but not necessarily, you know, attached in this way. They get to the point, maybe, of wanting to marry. Maybe. Many of them, before they get married, they already have 2-3 children. You know, either with one person or several different people. It's a degraded age. They don't even get to this stage. And if they get to this stage, where they finally get married, then the attachment is so fickle that at the first sign of problems, I'm out of here. Either you get out or I get out or we both leave, but you know, it's over. I can't stand you anymore. Get out of my face like that. We know, I'm not making it up. This is what happens practically every day. So this is a rarity nowadays where the husband becomes so attached to the dear wife because she cooks nicely and speaks sweetly and satisfies him in so many ways. People don't even get to this point. Pretty, you know, the honeymoon is over real quickly for most people. You know, I remember when I was living in New York, there was one couple who had lived together for 12 years. They lived together for 12 years. And both families were always kind of gently pushing to get married. So finally, they decided to get married. Within a year, they divorced. I'm not making it up. After 12 years of living together, they got married. And after 1 year, it was over. So it's like that in Kali Yuga. It's very, very difficult to find people who get to this stage of being really, really attached. Generally speaking, even if they do stay together until the kids grow up, nowadays they can't wait for the kids to get out. It used to be that the kids wanted to get away and establish their identity and whatnot, but the parents were still attached and, you know, come back anytime if you run into difficulty. But now it's like, go already. Go to college and don't come back. Don't even think about coming back. Now we're free again. Get rid of you guys. Get out of here. You know, they don't want you back home. They want to see you out the door. So this level of attachment that Prahlad is talking about, again, is practically non-existent in Kali Yuga. So it's hard for people to relate to this. Attached. Oh, give me a break. I can't wait for them to leave. Get out of here. But Prahlad knew from hearing and also from watching his father. His father was extremely attached to his situation, which he had earned by dint of his, you know, physical prowess and his determination and benedictions given by Lord Rama. He earned his position as being in charge of everything. Just think of how much good he could have done. You know, it's just actually the Vedic system that the ruler should be strong, should control everything and everyone, but for the ultimate good, not just for his own sense gratification. Nowadays, people all over the planet are railing against, revolting against these kinds of leaders who take this dominant position, but not for everybody's good. Just like in Syria, still going on. You know, Assad and his henchmen are killing their own fellow citizens because they hate them, they want them out. His father had been a dictator for decades and decades, and then his father left. He took over as dictator. But the people nowadays, they don't want that anymore. We don't want any dictator because we want democracy or at least some better form of government. And you can't blame them because these leaders are just squeezing the juice out of them, as it's stated in the 12th canto. In the Kali Yuga, the leaders, they're just like thieves. They're just like thieves. They just steal from the citizens through taxation or directly. In many countries, they don't even bother taxing you. They just come and they see something they want, they just take it. That's it. You know, it's your wife or your car or whatever. You know, they just want it, they take it. And then what's the end result? Gacchanti girikananam. The poor citizens become so fried that they just run away to the hills. They leave the cities, they go to the forest and try to make a living there. But this is Bhauga Vairagya. It's not real renunciation. They're being forced to renounce by dint of circumstances. Real Vairagya, real detachment, real renunciation is Anasakta Savishya, Nyatara Upayunita, Nirbanda Krishna Sambandhi, Yuktam Vairagya Uchite. You know. Yukta Vairagya means realizing that everything belongs to Krishna and should be used in Krishna's service. That's real Vairagya, real renunciation. Not Palgu Vairagya, false renunciation, where, as I was saying in my Gita class the other day, Prabhupada said, you know, to walk into the nearest Bank of America branch and say, I renounce all the money in Bank of America, and walk out the door. Everybody look at you like you're a nut. It didn't belong to you in the first place. How can you renounce it? So in life in general, we're all like that crazy person. We're thinking that this is mine, and I'm going to keep this much, and I will give in charity that much. It's not yours to give. It's not yours to give. It all belongs to Krishna. And therefore, even when you're in a charitable mood, you have to give in a way that is pleasing to Krishna, which means giving for propagating Krishna consciousness. To give $5 to a drunk on the street, you could say it's charity, but it's charity in the mode of ignorance. We all know, generally speaking, you give $5 to some guy on the street, he's going to go to the nearest liquor store and, you know, so. And so you could say it's charity, but it's charity in the mode of ignorance. Charity in the mode of passion, you're giving, but you want recognition. So many people, they give, oh, I'm the biggest donor to the United Way or the Red Cross or whatever. It's mode of passion. I'm giving money, and I don't even really care how it's spent as long as I get the recognition that I'm a big donor. But charity in the mode of goodness means giving to worthy recipient in a worthy time, worthy place, that's proper charity. And charity on the transcendental platform means that it is being used simply to get people out of this material, miserable condition that they're in. That's what money really should be used for. Meaning for putting on Krishna conscious festivals so we can spread the chanting of Hare Krishna all over the world. Because this is the real need. This is the real cure-all, the chanting of Hare Krishna. Lately, we've been inviting Gunita to come with us on our college preaching programs, because it's very difficult. Many of the senior ladies here, they have no time to come out. So she's been coming. And quite often the teacher will ask, well, how did you guys come to Krishna consciousness? So she's been telling her story a couple of times the last few classes, and it's interesting. She's from Latvia originally, came to the United States, I think about 13, 14 years ago, got married here, and she was in a very abusive relationship. The guy was abusing her physically, mentally, in every way, but she just couldn't find the strength to get away. And then she met the devotees. She started chanting. She took to this chanting of japa, especially, like a duck takes to water. And many of you may not know, but she chants 32 rounds minimum every day. So she was saying, telling the students last class, how this chanting gave her the strength to get out of that abusive relationship and just to be fearless in life in general. And that's what the chanting of Hare Krishna does when you really allow yourself to become attached to chanting. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. One becomes fearless, one becomes determined, one becomes fixed when one becomes attached to the chanting of Hare Krishna. There was one devotee once at a state fair somewhere, at a book table, distributing books. I've told the story a couple of times before. And this Christian guy, I wasn't there, but the person that happened told me directly, this Christian guy was very agitated. He was trying to break up the sales and trying to preach to the devotees that you're all going to hell. But they were ignoring him and doing their thing, distributing their books. And so finally the guy got so agitated, he pulled a gun on the devotee who was this. And the devotee just pushed his hand aside and kept selling the books. He was so shocked that the devotee was not afraid. That didn't, he just gave up and left. So devotees become fearless. Devotees become fearless. When you chant Hare Krishna, you become attached to serving Krishna, primarily through hearing and chanting, one becomes fearless. Yeah, what is that verse? Apana sanskritim goram yannama vivishogrinam tatak sadyo vimocheta yadvibeti svayam bhayam. Living beings who are entangled in a complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed at once by chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. This is the point. Krishna's holy name is feared by fear personified. Yadvibeti svayam bhayam. Everybody is ruled in this world by bhaya, by fear. One cannot get away from being fearful because it's a fearful place. There's danger at every step. But if we take shelter of the holy name of Krishna, then we can become fearless. So Prahlad Maharaj is in this process now of teaching his classmates how to become fearless, how to get out of this entanglement. As Prabhupada said, this transcendental knowledge is the rope by which one can get out. And it's available for everyone. A couple classes back, we were discussing about this shining personality syndrome, that some people think that, ISKCON is nice, and there's no shining personality that I can take shelter of. What about Srila Prabhupada? Isn't he shiny enough for you? Really, you want somebody who's more brilliantly shining than Srila Prabhupada? Hello? Take shelter of Srila Prabhupada. Once you make that formal connection, Srila Prabhupada is there for you. And what about Krishna? You want somebody who's more brilliant than Krishna? Standing on the altar? Krishna is so brilliant that the devotee has to pray to him to please wind up your effulgence so I can see your original form. So I don't know what shining personality they're looking for. And ISKCON is full of shining personalities. ISKCON is full of shining, if you just open your eyes. But we tend to be like the owl, which it's a night hunter, so generally speaking during the daytime, the owls keep their eyes closed. So they're saying, what sun? I don't see any sun, because your eyes are closed. If you open your eyes, you'll see that this society is full of shining personalities. We're completely dedicated to propagating this knowledge, who go through so much difficulty, personal difficulty, and personal sacrifice to do this, to serve the deities, to serve the other devotees, to not really, you could say, serve the public, but to enlighten the public. Prabhupada said there in one morning walk, he was discussing this. There are two things. There is mercy and there's service. Daya and seva. So, seva goes up. You serve somebody who's in a superior position. Spiritual master, Krishna, ultimately. Anybody who's above you, you render service to them. And daya, mercy, you give to somebody who's on a lower platform. So actually when the devotees go out to preach, that's not seva, that's really daya, that's mercy. You're mercifully giving your time and energy to enlighten the public, to bring them up to a higher standard, to bring them to this platform where they can become fearless through the chanting of Hare Krishna. They can become, have a chance of detaching themselves from whatever attachments they have. They may not be as attached as Prahlad is describing here, in terms of household attachment and being really attached to the wife and the children, and they easily give up. They take off. But they're not really detached. The example is given of the new householder. Many of you have heard that story. That one guy was having so much trouble in his family life. The wife was nagging, the children were bugging him, everything was falling apart, his business, this and that. So one day he just gave up. He just left and took off for the forest and never went back home. But he was morose. He was down. And he's sitting there in the forest, eyes half closed, sitting in lotus position. And people would come into the forest to gather wood, and they would see him and think, wow, he looks so spiritual. He's sitting there, not speaking, eyes half closed. So they started worshiping him. They would bring him stuff to eat, and they would glorify him. They started calling him Gurudev. Gurudev, what do you need anything? Can I give you anything? And he would, no response. He said, obviously, he needs something. He's out in the open. Let's build him a cottage. So they built him a cottage. Gurudev, we built you a cottage. So he kind of reluctantly moved into the cottage. And every day we'd come, Gurudev, what do you need? What do you need? He wouldn't say anything. Oh, obviously, he needs a cow. He needs milk. And to get milk, you have to have a cow. So they brought him a cow. And then every day he had to take care of this cow. Now he had to go get grass to feed the cow, and he had to milk the cow. So the disciples would come every day, and they would try to figure out, what is Guru? What do you need, Guru? Oh, man, it's obvious. We got him this cow. It's taking all his time. He needs a wife. So he left the wife and children, went to the forest, and eventually he got another family. So that's Phalgu Vairagya. That's not real renunciation. So a lot of people in this age are not attached, like Prahlad is saying. They're not directly attached to the wife and children as strongly as indicated here, but they are attached to someone and something that's keeping them in material consciousness. So the only way to get out, as Prabhupada said at the end of the purport, is through this transcendental knowledge, which we have in abundance by His mercy, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. And we should take it seriously that if we follow the instructions given, the direct instructions of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita as given to us by His pure devotee and the purports as given to us by His pure devotee, then we'll be liberated. As Krishna says in the 12th chapter, He Himself will come and get us. And Prabhupada stresses in that purport, yes, don't think it's going to be, this is a fairy tale. Krishna will come. Krishna says He Himself will come to deliver the devotee from the ocean of birth and death. So this is what we have to look forward to if we take this seriously, stay on the path, and do our best to assist Srila Prabhupada in spreading this knowledge to others. So we can stop here. Any questions, comments? Yes, Alexandra. We've been hearing about this, how brahmachari life is so important. But the natural progression is, at least in the Vedic culture, the boys would be sent to school at age 5. And generally around age 25, they would have to make a decision. Do they want to remain in the platform of full renunciation, or do they want to get married? And for most people, it's to get married. Because again, the material situation is such that Maya will always tempt and try to trip us up. So for a properly trained brahmachari, as Prabhupada has stated several times in previous purports, with that proper training, it's not so difficult for that person to get out of family life later on. Because in the first place, he's going to try his best to have grihastha life, not grihamedi life. And grihastha life means husband and wife keep Krishna in the center, and therefore they both make spiritual progress while in the grihastha ashram. Not just take it as a license for sense gratification, then you immediately become a grihamedi, which is what's being discussed here. The grihamedi, simply from morning till night, simply the family is the center, and how to get money and how to spend money for the family, everything about the family, family, family. And that's ideal grihamedi. Nowadays you don't even have ideal grihamedi. They get money and it's how can I spend it on my girlfriend and save a little bit to do something and, you know, whatever leftover I can take home to the family like that. So that's Kali Yuga grihamedi. But grihamedi from previous life, from previous ages, they were simply fixed on the family, everything about the family. And so when one is properly trained as a brahmachari, one can marry. And as I stated many, many times, good brahmacharis make good grihasthas. Marriage is not there just for those who can't stick to brahmacharya life. They're having trouble, they're falling down, okay, let them get married. What kind of grihastha are they going to be? You're condemning this poor woman to deal with somebody who's already, you know, a rascal. So, good brahmacharis make good grihasthas. And brahmachari training, brahmacharini also, we have our brahmacharini ashram. It's very important to be trained properly. What is married life all about? How to take responsibility? Some of them will be able to live at a minimum standard by remaining within the society, and others may have to go out and find a job. That's natural, and therefore in many temples nowadays, they won't accept you in the ashram unless you already have a profession. Because they know, if you get married, how are you going to make money? That question is going to be there. So they want you to already have a profession before they will accept you in the ashram. So it's a very, very serious subject. It should be taken very seriously. And therefore, generally speaking, if one is contemplating doing that, one should take advice from those who already have already gone down that road. And in many temples, they do have some kind of counseling system where if you're a brahmachari, brahmacharini, and you want to get married, at least take counsel from those who have already been down that road and hopefully successfully down that road so they can give you good tips, good pointers. But yes, although the recommendation is that brahmacharis should avoid it if they can, for the most part, even in previous ages where people were more elevated, many of them did go the full route of brahmacharya life followed by grihastha life, by vanaprastha, and then sannyas. As Prabhupada was saying this morning, in Kali Yuga, sannyas, I mean, what we heard Savas reading this morning from the third canto, I think it was. Yeah. Prabhupada is saying that sannyas is forbidden in Kali Yuga because people can't even follow any principles. But he said, but for those who are following principles, sannyas is required. So, if you're following principles as a brahmachari, following strictly, then you can marry. No problem. And you'll be able to extricate yourself. You won't fall into this well that Prahlad is talking about here if you maintain your spiritual practices, chanting your rounds every day, doing some devotional activities every day, and you maintain your spiritual strength, and you can properly wind up that ashram and move on to vanaprastha and ultimately sannyas. Any other questions? Okay, Granthrashim Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sorry, Nartham didn't have any question or comment. I can't believe it.
He said yes, he said no.